Nothing came naturally. Nothing. And they told me that it would. And by they, I mean like society, books, movies, everything. Like everyone had told me that even if you weren't born to be a parent, that wasn't like the language used, but it was that kind of sentiment that even if this isn't for you, like don't you worry. You will figure it out. Your body will just know what to do and it'll come naturally. And it did not at all.
Welcome to Shift Talking, a podcast where we explore the art and science of behavior change. I'm your host, Davina Hain, a mental health coach and founder of A Steady Space. Join me as we discuss actionable tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you create lasting change once and for all. Now, let's get to the Shift Talking.
Hi, and welcome back to Shift Talking. I am always Davina Hain, your host and your adjustment coach here to help you navigate all of the changes that life has to offer us. So we have gone over the shift framework. We went into anger, devillainizing it, and the neurochemistry of it. And now we get to go into a very fun topic. I don't know. Maybe it's not so fun. I find it very fun. I have this theory, it's purely anecdotal, and it applies really across the board with the people that I've worked with, and even just the people that I confront in day-to-day life. So this whole concept is whether you were born to be parent or born to be a partner. And the reason that this really came to be was because I had been trying to diagnose a little bit around what causes strife in our marriages, primarily. What causes complications and the deepest amount of challenges? And my job isn't just to deal with people and help them work through surface level challenges, arguments, conflict. My job is to dig in deeper to identify the root cause, common themes, and then, of course, be able to help us navigate it from there with this new knowledge. Born to be a parent versus born to be a partner came over the years of me recognizing that some of us really do inherently have more of a motivation and a drive toward becoming a parent, and some of us have more of a drive toward partnership. And it doesn't mean that we can't have both, and it doesn't mean that we can't have neither. It really just means like which one is most pivotal for me, which way am I programmed that will allow for me to really focus more energy toward one aspect of my life, one type of relationship, if you will, in my life moving forward. And what I know is I was born to be a partner. Parenting comes harder to me than I expected it to. And as my kids are getting older, there is definitely this part of, you know, it getting not necessarily easier, but more simplified. But all in all, I did not have this experience of parenting being this like innate instinctual thing. It is really something that I've had to work so hard for. And for so long, it felt like something was wrong with me because most of the women I'm surrounded by are ones who were born to be parents. And me as a woman, I didn't feel that same kind of drive to become a mother. I didn't feel that same level of connectedness when my kids were born as so many others in my life have and do. And it really instilled this level of like, man, am I just faking this? Am I not built for this? Am I not going to be good at this? And am I going to cause harm to my kids? And it really just prompted a deep identity crisis and, oh gosh, such visceral levels of comparison and self-doubt. And I suffered. So I know that I was born to be a partner. I am a really good mother, don't get me wrong. And I'm a really great partner. And being a good partner comes more easily to me than being a great parent. And for some, being a great partner is harder than being a parent. And so I wanted to share this theory that I have with you to see if it resonates. And I'm in the process of creating a quiz that you can take. It will be done and, you know, ready by the time this publishes, but I'm really wanting us to take this quiz, wanting you to take this quiz to determine whether you were born to be a parent or a partner. And from there, it's going to help us understand how you conceptualize the world and where you place more emphasis and energy in your day-to-day life. So, when I work with couples who are in differing points, right, of one that was born to be a parent and the other one that was born to be a partner, that's where I see a certain dynamic. And that's where one member of this couple, their entire identity becomes being a parent. It's all they can focus on. It's really all that they care to focus on. Their partner becomes second fiddle when their baby is born. And while predominantly what I do see more of this in is women, because biologically we are kind of wired that way, I do also see this happening with many men that I work with as well, where their partners aren't as committed to being a good parent as they were, and they don't get as much joy out of parenting as they do. And so we really see this dynamic. And so there's really one of a few. There's that we were both born to be parents, we were both born to be partners, or we have one of each. And I want to go through each one and kind of the resulting kind of dynamic that I see within these couples. So if they were both born to be partners, my husband and I are a good example of this, parenting will come more difficultly. I don't think that's a word, but you know. Parenting won't come as easily. They'll feel like their kids sometimes get in the way of their marriage, of their connection, of their ability to kind of just live their lives and date and court each other and like have so much more quality time. Certain things won't come as inherently to them, like celebrating holidays in certain ways won't really come as inherently as like making it from their child's perspective, right? Like we might do it out of cultural expectations or societal expectations or even just like habits and, you know, rituals. But it may not come inherently for them to make it about the child's experience. And that's really what we see there. We see a really strong push toward staying close. And that's where having our kids can make it so much harder in marriage, because neither one of us is as self-sacrificing as we would expect the other one to be. And that just makes it harder. It makes the day-to-day to-do list so much more challenging, because there is less of an inherent drive to get it done because we both are just trying to do partner stuff, and instead parenting stuff is kind of overwhelmingly requiring so much of us. Within that dynamic also comes this level of disconnection between us, because ultimately the kids have to be the primary, of course. And what that ends up creating is a bit of a rift in one of us kind of adjusting into, yes, I wasn't born to be a parent, and I kind of have to pick it up now as I go. And that can cause a rift as well, similar to when we have one who is born to be a partner and one who is born to be a parent. So that dynamic has to be the most challenging. And what I have witnessed the most distressing is one partner who just like lives and breathes their kids' experience, their kids' lives, their extracurriculars. This is the person who believes that if you don't check in on my kids, it's like not checking in on me. And therefore, I don't really want you in my life, right? Like their kids become this extension of them, and nothing wrong with it. It's just different than some others, right? And then you have the other one, if they were born to be a partner, who's going to feel so deeply neglected in every way, right? Because these kids are taking up so much of this born to be parent's energy that this born to be partner of theirs is just left in the dust. The one who's born to be a parent doesn't really feel bad about it. It's like, inherently, this is what I was born to do. This is what we're here for. This is why I'm doing this. Like, I'm not your mom. Go somewhere else. And then the born to be partner one is just so neglected and feeling abandoned in so many ways, doesn't feel important, so quick to resentment, so quick to feeling used. And now back to that original one, like with the two that are born to be partners, there is still that like push that now I'm kind of feeling forced into doing these parent things, because if it were up to me, we wouldn't do it as much. And maybe we would have more date nights, or maybe we would have more emphasis and more focus on our relationship. And so that's where we see deep amounts of disconnect within our sex lives, within the way that we connect with each other, within having differing priorities and what we fundamentally find to be most important in life. Those things differ, and that can be really, really challenging for us. And then the third version is both born to be parents, which sounds ideal so long as we're able to become parents. And once we are, things kind of come more naturally. We don't fight about sex as much. You know, both of us are more engaged and more ready and willing to kind of put in the work that being a parent requires. And as a result of that, our marriage kind of suffers because it gets neglected. And those of us who were born to be parents, if there's both of us, then that's usually where like empty nesters end up. And they're just like, man, I don't even know you anymore. We don't know each other. We don't get along. The date nights that we had were very rare and we were fine with that. But now if we started doing more dates, or even after our kids have left the home, there is this part about like, we didn't get to know each other outside of the new parenting roles that we've taken on. And I don't know you. You don't really know me. I don't really know me outside of this. And there can be this really big identity crisis over what is this marriage and what does this mean and what are we doing here? And you know, like our job has kind of been done together because we both just were born to be parents, and that's really all that we wanted. And so in each one of these scenarios, these three, there's still these major rifts that occur within the marriage, within the parenting dynamic, within the kids dynamic, and it really just causes a lot of strain. Where I see it cause the most amount of strain is by far in the first 2 to 3 years of the marriage or the relationship, right? And so what we end up seeing is this deep difficulty in being able to understand how the other person's priorities don't align with either the task that we have to complete and like this overall goal that we have, or they don't align with mine inherently. And that causes so much trouble and strain and confusion and judgment and resentment. And there really is so much of that. And so along with this born to be a parent or born to be a partner experience, there is this like 70-30 is the way that I describe it. And the 70-30 kind of theory that I have is around this idea that when we become a parent, when we become parents together, rather, that one of us thinks that 70% of our life needs to change. That's usually the born to be a parent person who's just like 30% can kind of stay the same, but overwhelmingly, 70% of everything within our day-to-day life and the way that we run our lives with our schedules, our patterns, our hobbies, our enjoyment, our free time, all of these types of things, like 70% of that really needs to be sucked up by this new role of parent and this child or children that are in our lives. The 30% person is like, yeah, okay, I recognize that a lot of our life has to change. Not the vast majority of it, though. And so 70% of it can stay the same while we just adjust some of our 30. And that's very much what I see, is that those of us who are born to be parents are very much within this 70% has to change. Those of us who are born to be partners are within more of like this 30% has to change. When we're talking, you know, a little bit previous to this, right? Like not necessarily that people have to get married and then have babies, but if we're going based on like the traditional model, the parent versus partner dynamic can be really challenging around the marriage time too, or the time of the commitment, because the person who's born to be a partner is going to want a lot of our life to change. After we get married and we make this commitment, the born to be a partner person is going to want 70% of our daily lives to be a bit different. Now we plan more nights with other couples. We plan more nights just the two of us. We get a hobby together. It becomes more still interdependent, but our priorities shift. And that's usually what we see expected. Versus the people who are born to be parents, it's like, I'm not really going to change all of this until I'm a parent, because that's the point. So me marrying you doesn't necessarily mean that 70% of my life has to change. We're still the same people that we were right before we said I do. Once we become parents, though, like that's when I'll alter these things. And so there's just a lot here. And I wanted to share this theory overall because, one, I can't find a single person that this doesn't make sense for. Two, I really like helping us determine how we more so just view the world, what our motivations are and what drives us. And three, I want us to be able to understand ourselves and each other well enough that we can navigate these things, even when we have rifts, even when there's this divide, even when we disagree fundamentally on like the purpose of our existence and how we should spend our time. I really want all of this to lead toward more understanding mutually and of course within ourselves. So that's where we're at for that. And with this, I want to share a little bit about my journey as a parent and some of the things that we're not supposed to say out loud. And if others hadn't said out loud to me, I don't know that I would feel as, you know, bold as to share it. I think I would, but, you know, I'm only here because I was shared with. So as I shared earlier, I was born to be a partner. I'm the youngest child. I never cared to be a babysitter. I don't really care for kids to this day. Like, want to protect them. Don't want anything bad to happen to them. Of course, believing the inherent good of them. I also just don't really care to be around them. I care about kids that I know and that are close to me. And I'm not a kid person. Like, I'm not going to volunteer to babysit if I don't know you. I'm not going to volunteer to like go to kids events. It's not my thing. I adore them. I respect them. I honor them and cherish them. And I'm more of an adult person. So growing up, I had zero interest in babysitting. I worked as early as I could and kind of just like built this for myself. But when the question arose of like, oh, when I'm a mom, or do you want to be a mom, whatever this is, it was always kind of just a given. I hadn't really ever thought about it. It was just like, well, you're a woman and we're supposed to want kids. And so, yeah, like I guess I want kids, you know, but it was never anything that was a driving force for me. I never felt this like biological clock tick. I also committed to my husband when we were quite young. We were like 23, 24. And so that really, you know, kind of locked that in for me. But there wasn't that inherent drive to become a parent. It was never part of me. Others in my life had that from the time they were young. They like had dolls that they loved taking care of and parenting. They liked being around younger kids. They babysat. They enjoyed that experience. When they talk about their goal in life and the reason for their existence, it's to become a parent. And that then brings so much more focus around like the decisions I'm making in life are going to be centered around this inevitability that I will become a parent. And when I became a parent, right, this day that I saw this positive pregnancy test that my husband and I were fortunate enough to not have to try hard for, right? Like we pulled the goalie and I was pregnant within one cycle. It was crazy fast. It was something that we were just like, yeah, let's just see what happens, but not anything that we had talked about enough. Like it was definitely not enough of a conversation and not anything that we expected to happen so quickly. And so I took this test and didn't feel joy. I felt dread and fear. And I was shaking. I was crying. I was just like, holy shit, nothing's going to be the same again. And I don't know how to do this. And I don't think anything will come naturally to me. So that's kind of what it was. I navigated this pregnancy. I, you know, of course, like cared about this child in my belly and wanted to make sure that he was safe and protected and all of this. And then the time came to deliver. My water broke in the middle of the night, like very typical kind of deal. I had a very smooth delivery, thank goodness. And I, afterward, our son is born and he's in this bassinet. And I'm staring at this kid like, all right, like, okay. I know that I like love you and I know that I feel the need to protect you, but I don't know you. And, you know, it was because of a conversation that I had with my mom prior to my delivering that my mom warned me. She had warned me and said, hey, you know, when baby comes, I want you to know that like you might not feel this instant connection. She full blown said, like, I don't want you to expect like that you'll feel super loving toward it and that's okay. And I didn't. I had hoped that I would. I had hoped that it would be this like very Hallmark movie experience that we're kind of told as a guarantee as mothers, as parents, that once you hold the baby, there's no, you know, life is never the same and you have this magical connected moment and all of this. I didn't. I was fortunate. He was healthy. I was all of these things. And my husband and I were sitting in, you know, like in the recovery ward and whatever. And we're sitting there and I'm staring at this little being. And I look at my husband and I'm like, do you feel anything for him? And he goes, nah. And I said, yeah, I know. Me neither. It's weird. He's like, yeah. So the nurse comes in and I'm like, this is just like, we just take it. Like, no background check, like no, nothing. I went through more of screening process to adopt my dog. Like, I just take this thing home and I'm supposed to know what to do with it and how to love it and how to take care of it and how to keep it alive and do all of these things. And my early parenting existence was not good. I struggled. Nothing came naturally. Nothing. And they told me that it would. And by they, I mean like society, books, movies, everything. Like everyone had told me that even if you weren't born to be a parent, that wasn't like the language used, but it was that kind of sentiment that even if this isn't for you, like don't you worry. You will figure it out. Your body will just know what to do. And it'll come naturally. And it did not at all. And that was terrifying for me. I was fearful that I was going to be terrible at this. I was fearful that I was somehow going to fail and fail this little being that we had created. And it was just viscerally, gosh, it was just so scary. And that time of my life, when I look back at it, I was just in fear constantly. I have no doubt that my brain had me going in fight or flight constantly. I was in this survival mode of panic most of the time until I think I just kind of numbed out. When I was 7 months pregnant, we also lost my brother unexpectedly. And so I think the grief of that also numbed me out even further. But it was gnarly, you guys. We had a second child after our first, and it was the same thing. I felt a little bit more connected to my second because we nearly lost him. He was an emergency C-section. It was this whole big thing. And had we not gone in for this induction and eventual emergency C-section, he would have been stillborn. And it was that realization and all of that that I knew I cared for him and that I loved him and that I wanted to protect him. And I was so grateful that he was okay. Because he was also a rainbow baby. I had had a miscarriage prior to that. And that part felt a little bit more connected, like protective around him, because my first son's delivery and pregnancy was just so smooth. Everything went so beautifully that I didn't have that fear about him. I just had that fear of my ability to care for him. But with my second, there was that fear of, oh no, like his safety's at risk. And that made me feel even more connected to him, but more on like a natural, innate mama bear protective way and not like a, I was born to do this way. I never got that. And I'm deeply envious of those who do. I get those now that my kids are older and I can see where I did a good job and where I didn't do the best job and I could have done better. And it's really kind of allowing for me to become this person who was made into a parent over time, but definitely not one that was born to be one. So I share all of that because of the things that we're not supposed to say. I will talk often in this podcast about how hard parenting is, and of course, how beautiful and wonderful, and I would not take it back if I could. And I know a lot of people say that, but also a lot of people would be honest and say that they would, right? I wouldn't take it back even if I could. I thoroughly believe that the world is a better place because my kids are in it. I genuinely believe that their existence in this universe is needed and necessary, and my entire world has benefited so greatly since they've been in it. Everything that I'm doing now and this version of myself that I continue to evolve into is all motivated by them. And while I wasn't meant to be a parent, I wasn't born to be a parent, I am so deeply grateful that I had the opportunity. And I hope anyone who does want to be a parent, who was born to be a parent, I hope you all get the opportunity to. And there's a lot of this recognition that even though I have this, and this isn't me losing gratitude, this isn't me being an ungrateful mother, this is instead me recognizing that I would have been this very career-oriented person if I hadn't become a mother, if I hadn't been able to get pregnant, if I learned that this just wasn't going to work out for me. It wouldn't have defined me. And that's also something that I don't think we're supposed to say out loud, but I think is important to say out loud. And in all of the burdensome things that I recognize within parenting, those who were born to be parents don't really seem to mind. They kind of just take it as par for the course, right? And for me, it's more challenging. And so when it comes to this, I have to go into my brain and ask, what would they do, right? Like my sister, she was born to be a mother, and she's a phenomenal mother. It's all she's ever wanted. She has three beautiful, lovely, healthy, wonderful, just, oh, these kids. And when I'm thinking about how to be a better mother, I ask, what would she do? And it helps me be more creative and have more fun with them and live my life through their eyes and just have more play in my life. Like, it's just not anything that I really focused on. I felt weird and awkward playing with kids. Like, it was just weird. And for her and with her, I see how well she does this. I see how just these things just come naturally. It's just like, yep, well, that's what it is. This is parenting, la da da. And there's no like, ugh, to it. And if she has it, it's not nearly to the extent that I have it at times. Not because of my kids themselves, but because of the work that having these kids takes. And it's exhausting. So I want you to know that if you are like me and within this certain dynamic, you're not alone. And that some of those who were born to be parents oftentimes look at us that were born to be partners as a what would they do? Of how can I be a better partner to my partner? Even though I was born to be a parent, how can I take some tips from you in how you keep the relationship alive, the sex life alive, understand each other, you know, adopt each other's interests as your own, take an active curiosity in each other and constantly build on this marriage, right? There's a lot of pro and con to both. And it doesn't mean that one is better or worse than the other. It just means that we are different and there are multiple truths here. That just because I wasn't born to be a parent doesn't mean I'm not a good one. I work really, really hard to ensure that I am. And the kind, gentle, lovely souls that I am raising are a testament to that. And if you were born to be a parent, it doesn't mean that you can't be a good partner. It doesn't mean that you can't be someone that people crave and that your partner is so grateful for at the end of the day. It just means that our energy is going to be placed in different places, and that's it. A lot of the work that I had to do in acknowledging and accepting this about myself was facilitated by the shift framework of my self-awareness and learning about myself and not running away from it, of healing from these expectations that I had that I didn't quite live up to, and allowing for that to be okay and forgiving myself for it, for innovating my communication, innovating these strategies that I take in order to be a better parent, in order to be a better partner, having the fortitude build that shows me that I can do this. I can gather the evidence around me and believe in myself that I'm capable of these changes and applying effort where I'm not very good and getting better, and ultimately transforming into the person that you're either looking at if you're watching along or listening to or both, that I am now. That's how I got here. And I know, of course, for certain that I would not be the same person, this parent, this professional, this woman, this wife that I am, if not for these kids. And I'm endlessly grateful, and I just want you to know that you are not alone in any of it. If you feel like you are, reach out, please. And let's chat, and we're going to have a free prep call, 15 minutes, just to hold space for you and see where you might want to focus some of this energy. And once you take the quiz, I would love to hear from you about which one you are and how conceptualizing yourself in this way and viewing yourself in this way can kind of ease your experience, because we're understanding more about ourselves than we did before. So are you born to be a parent or a partner? And are you within the 70 or the 30? That after these big life events of marriage or children, does 70% of us have to change and 30% gets to remain the same, or the opposite? That we only need to change 30% and keep the 70% stable. And I'm really curious to hear what you come up with, what your results show, and if you agree with them, if those results align for you. So remember, this is your empowerment, one shift at a time. Stay steady, and I'll see you next time.